Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. This week, we're welcoming our listeners on the Powerhouse 770 AM KCBC in California's capital city, Sacramento, in San Francisco and San Jose, and the entire Bay Area of Northern California. We're glad to be with you on Basic Gospel and hope to hear from you. If you're listening on KCBC, you are hearing a delayed broadcast, but only by 30 minutes. Still, if you have a Bible question or some topic of interest, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about resurrection. We're fast approaching that Resurrection Sunday where we'll all gather together. I mean, thousands will go to church that particular day and rejoice with the fact that Jesus is alive. But boy, that is a hard truth for us to grasp. And we see that in the Word of God with the disciples, with their response to Jesus' declarations time and time again that he was going to be raised on the third day. Yesterday we looked at Peter's response when Jesus clearly told him and the other disciples that he was going to be handed over. He was going to suffer at the hands of the religious leaders. He was going to be crucified. But on the third day, he was going to be raised back to life. And Peter rebuked Jesus for saying such a thing and said, "Lord, this will never happen to you." And then not very long after, he's with the disciples on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And it says in verse 22 of chapter 17 of the book of Matthew, "As they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men.'" So his time was near. His time was approaching. The reason that he was in the world was about to take place. The reason God sent Jesus was about to happen. So he says, "Is the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." So that's just very clear, plain, black and white language. There's no mystery to it. This is what's going to happen. Jesus is going to be handed over. These men will kill him, but on the third day, he is going to be raised. Well, here's what Matthew wrote about the disciples in hearing those words from Jesus. And it says, "And they," the disciples, "were greatly distressed." I mean, that word distressed is a word that means sorrow, heartbroken, in anguish, despairing. These words of Jesus brought this reaction of distress in the disciples. Now, why is that the case? I mean, he clearly said that he was going to be raised on the third day. Well, here's the problem. We have a hard time thinking beyond death. Yeah. For us, when death comes, hope leaves the room. There's nothing to think of. That's just our human thinking. Resurrection is not a part of our human thinking. But that's the story of Jesus. He was going to die. He was going to taste death for all of us, put an end to sin and death, so that when he was raised, he could bring us along into the newness of life. There's something beyond death for us. That's the great hope of the gospel. But it's hard for our finite minds. It's hard for our limited minds. It's hard for our minds that are set on the things of man instead of the things of God to really think beyond death. But that's what Jesus was forcing them to do, to think beyond the tragic of death, the horrific nature of death, the seemingly finality of death. But based on their reaction, they were having a hard time. Now, let me ask you, let me turn it on you, listener. When you're involved in situations, when you have a loved one that is facing death, does the hope of the gospel help you look beyond that death and to see that loved one in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Because this gospel message, the fact that Jesus was raised on the third day, puts hope into your situation that extends beyond when that person takes the last breath. Have you thought in your own life that you can't see your way out of whatever situation that you're in right now, that it seems hopeless, that the end of that tunnel is nothing but darkness? Have you ever thought that way? Well, let the gospel of Jesus Christ open up the end of that tunnel so that you can see hope, you can see light, that this is just a temporary thing, that the gospel of Jesus is the fact that Jesus has come into our darkness, has tasted our very death, so that we can have hope beyond that situation. So let these words of Jesus not bring distress to your heart and soul. Think beyond the fact that he is going to be delivered into the hands of men. Think beyond the fact that he was going to be killed or the fact that he died. Think about the resurrection. This is what distinguishes Christianity from every other philosophy. Every other philosophy ends at death. Jesus brings newness after death has come. Yeah. That's the good news of the gospel.
That is good news, very good news. And this is Basic Gospel, where you hear this good news every day, friends. You know, we have a new CD by Bob Christopher. It's entitled The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. And we're saying thanks to you, our listeners, who make a gift to Basic Gospel during the month of March. Bob, tell our listeners about this particular CD series, how it will impact their lives.
Well, it goes back to what we were just talking about, you know. So often we get into situations and we think we're the only resource available to get our way out. And that's why so many of us live hopeless lives. So many of us live frustrated lives. So many of us resign ourselves to a second-tier experience of what the Christian life is supposed to be. But when we realize that Christ has been raised from the dead, and that power that raised him from the dead is now available to us simply by faith, that's how we tap into that power, then it changes everything. It changes our expectations. I mean, it actually brings us to the point where we can know that we can say no to sin. I mean, that's the power of the resurrection. Yeah. It gives us that ability to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. It gives us that assurance that we need. And it enables us to courageously love when the world would dictate another course of action altogether. To courageously forgive. To courageously roll up your sleeves and act in kindness to people who are in need. That's the power of the resurrection. So it not only provides hope for us from an eternal perspective, but that eternal perspective now shapes our thinking and our whole way of living life. So it is everything for the Christian. So don't miss this resource. Take advantage of it. Listen to it. Let the power of the resurrection soak into your soul, where you know that regardless of what's going on in your life, there is always hope in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And friends, you'll get a copy of The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living when you make your contribution to Basic Gospel to help us keep this message on the radio and online and wherever you hear it, as a matter of fact. And all you need to do is to click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. We'll send you a copy of The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Just click donate or call 844-322-2742. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, guys, a question from Ryan. He asks, what do I say to a person who believes the Adam and Eve story is just an illustration demonstrating that we can choose right or wrong? What's your response to that?
Well, it's not just an allegory. It's not just a made up tale. Adam and Eve were real people. God created them, and that's the takeaway from the book of Genesis. So I think if we take the reality out of the story and just say it's there to teach us that we can make a choice, we can choose between right and wrong, we're missing the importance of that whole passage altogether.
Yeah.
The fact that Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, that which means we are supposed to bear that image ourselves. So we see some incredible truths about mankind as a whole, and it's not just about whether we can choose right for wrong. I mean, if that's all you get out of that story,
yeah,
you're not reading very deep into the story. You have a very shallow understanding. I think the reason that God put that, or God restricted or prohibited them from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't necessarily to test them to see if they were going to be obedient to the Lord. I think it was for their protection. God loved them, and he knew that Satan was in the world and that he was going to be in that garden to tempt them and try to lure them away. And so he put that as a point of protection and wanted to protect them from ultimately going down the wrong path. That's the love of God. And why? Because he created Adam and Eve and created us for a higher purpose, for a higher reason. And that's what we need to take away from this story, that we were image bearers. And that choice perverted or moved us in a different direction. But we still hear echoes of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We still see little snippets of that truth in the world. And so deep within our souls, we long for that. And when we come to Christ by faith, when we receive him, those echoes have been answered. Those longings have been fulfilled in Jesus. And we've been restored to life and restored to that purpose of bearing the image of our very Creator. So that when people look at us, they can see what God's like. Not because of our human efforts, but because we are now connected. We're reconnected to that source of life, God himself and the person of Jesus Christ. So this is an important story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The humanity, regardless of their belief systems, their social issues, where they're from in the world, everybody on this planet knows that we're missing something.
Yes.
25 years ago or more, there was a song that came out that said, "All of us are homesick for Eden. We yearn for a place we've never known," and that's true. Why are we always trying to create utopias, you know, in human terms, and then they fail miserably? Because we sense that loss, and we know that it was intended. Our lives were intended to be something immeasurably better than they are just on the surface.
Yes,
and you know, God loved us so much that even when we gave all that up, he said, "I'm going to go and get them. I'm going to go save them, and I'm going to bring them back to where they were intended to be." That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. Wanted to share this comment from one of our YouTube listeners or viewers. So we were talking about the hope of the gospel, and so this person wrote that my mother died in January of last year. She said, "I honestly don't feel like she's gone. I feel like she's just not here."
Yeah.
Well, why is that so? It's the hope of the gospel. Mm-hmm. She knows that her mom was absent from the body and is now present with the Lord. So it's never a goodbye. It's simply a see you later as far as those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So thank you so much for sharing that. That yeah. is the hope, and that's what we long for. And when we're reconnected to Jesus and to that life source that is Christ himself, then hope becomes a part of our everyday existence. We're never without hope because we're never without Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we can look beyond the limits of human thinking and really see things from God's perspective. And that truly changes everything.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, you and Andrew Farley have a couple of special days coming up this Friday and Saturday in Illinois.
We do. And Andrew and I were talking about this Monday, and both of us are so excited we could hardly stand it. I mean, we wish it was just today. We are going to be working through the book of Hebrews and talk about a magnificent book. I mean, there's none like it in the Word of God. It is the whole counsel of God compressed into 13 chapters.
Yeah.
It is glorious. It is life-changing. I mean, I read it and just my heart leaps for joy.
Yeah.
So excited about this man named Jesus, this one who is God himself in the flesh, the exact representation of God the Father, who did something on our behalf and ushered in a new covenant. So the book of Hebrews is about Jesus and this new covenant he ushered in. And if we will focus on Jesus and the new covenant, everything in Christianity falls right into place. And we just explode in this new life that we have in Christ. So this is going to be an incredible opportunity for people to come and walk through this book with Andrew and me. And I guarantee you, you will walk away a changed person.
Yeah.
You will have a whole new perspective on Jesus and a whole new appreciation for this new covenant that you live in today.
Well, we've been, of course, covering the book of Hebrews on our Friday editions of Basic Gospel. This is going to be a live event, friends, and it's coming up this Friday and Saturday, March 9th and 10th in Hinsdale, Illinois, the Chicago area, where Bob and Andrew will be appearing in the conference or the seminar called Simply Jesus. And for information, click the Simply Jesus graphic on basicgospel.net, right on the front page there. And to register, click the green tickets tab on the information page. So again, that prominent link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net, and click tickets, and all that information is there. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to go and shake Bob and Andrew's hands and get to know them and hear the best news that the world will ever know.
Well, thanks, Bob. Trudy wrote to us on our Facebook page today, and she says this: I have a confusion. If God knows what we think and do before we do it, why did he put the temptation in the garden in the beginning? Can that question be answered? Well, it wasn't a temptation. I mean, he didn't put a temptation in the garden. That's just reality. Satan had already fallen from heaven. There was already good and evil. God is good. Evil is simply a perversion of that, and that's what Satan was doing. He was perverting or trying to pervert all that God had already stamped out as good and said, this is good. So that was in the world. So he put a prohibition on that tree as an act of protection around his most cherished creation. So Adam and Eve, mankind, that's the pinnacle of God's creation. We're the only ones that bear the image of God. Nothing else. The angelic world does not bear the image of God. We alone bear the image of God. But God already had a plan. Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. So Christ was already going to come and restore us to what had happened there in the garden. So this is, you know, we just have to see that God isn't tempting us. James wrote about that. God does not tempt us ever. So that's not from God's hand. He didn't put it there as a tree of temptation. Satan is the one that turned it into a point of temptation for Adam and Eve. So it was after his words to Adam and Eve that the tree became appealing to them, desirable for them, never before. So God didn't tempt them. It was Satan himself that tempted Adam and Eve, and they bit on the temptation and said, we want that knowledge of good and evil. And boy, once they got it, I'm sure they regretted it, just as we regret having that knowledge today and long for that restoration in Christ Jesus. So Trudy, God did not put that tree in the garden as a point of temptation. He wanted to protect Adam and Eve. But even in their choice, his sovereign plan for mankind was not going to be thwarted, and that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. And friends, we're glad that you've joined us. And we want to remind you that you can pose a question regardless of whether you can get to us while we're actually on the air live, simply by calling 844-322-2742. That number available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Guys, had a question from Carl, who wrote to us from California. He asks, how much power does the devil have to influence a new Christian's mind? Does the devil actually have the ability to implant an automatic thought in a Christian's mind? That's from Carl in California.
I don't know that he has the power to implant an automatic thought, but he does influence this world system that we live in. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We used to be in the world and of the world. We
yes.
followed the ways of this world. That was our life. As a matter of fact, that was the only option on the menu. And so that world system came into play at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan was kind of pulling the strings there. And so we're influenced by that. And certainly as new Christians, veteran Christians, Satan is going to continue to try to influence how we think. And that's his only weapon. He tries to deceive us. He tries to move us off that solid foundation of truth and get us to believe lies. And one of the ways that he does that is through a voice of accusation.
Yeah.
So he is the accuser. So he's constantly accusing us. So oftentimes a new Christian will start to question if their faith was genuine enough. Were they sincere enough? Now, why do they say that? Why do they have those questions? Because the accuser is putting those types of thoughts out there. And we start wondering, could that be true? And if we entertain that very long, then those thoughts are going to start affecting us emotionally, and we're going to feel distant from God when that's not true. God has already cleansed us and has drawn us close to Him. So we're never distant. We're never miles and miles away from Him. We're always in His presence, and He is always in our presence. So if we entertain those thoughts that the accuser is putting out, then we can feel opposite of what the truth really is.
Yes.
And so that's why we have to realize that we have somebody in us who is greater than he who is in the world. And so as we look to Christ, as we look to his spirit is going to be renewing our minds and aligning our minds with that reality of who we've become in Jesus. So we have to realize that we do have an enemy that's out there in the world, but we've been equipped with armor to protect ourselves from that enemy. It's all the things that Christ has done for us. It's that salvation that we already have in Him. If we'll stand solid on that,
yeah,
then we will see this resistance to Satan, and we'll see him fleeing from us.
Yeah.
Richard, any thoughts?
Well, we are just about out of time, so I need to get this in before we go. We have an exciting resource to say thank you for supporting Basic Gospel this month of March. It's called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, of course, is the single most significant event in human history. All of Christianity rests on its veracity. And as you listen to this message by Bob Christopher, you'll discover that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is there for you to instill hope and anchor your soul to the amazing love of God. Please make your best gift as you can right now, and we'll send you a copy of The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or give by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.